Welcome to Latinos Who Thrive, the podcast that celebrates the stories, achievements, and experiences of Latino individuals making waves in their communities and beyond. I'm your host, Victor Escalante, and each week we bring you inspiring conversations with trailblazers, innovators, and everyday heroes from diverse fields, all united by their heritage and their drive to succeed. Whether you're looking for motivation, insight, or simply a reminder of the incredible power of the Latino community, you come to the right place. From entrepreneurship and activism to arts and academia, we cover it all. So sit back and relax and get ready to be inspired by Latinos Who Thrive. Today, we have a very special guest, Dr. Peter Rios, who is the founder of the Peter Rios Consulting and the author of Vanto Stories, the Latinx Leadership Experience in Higher Education. He has served diverse organizations, including business, religious institutions, churches, government, higher education, and nonprofits in the areas of organizational diversity, equity and inclusion, leadership development, and innovation. So let's get started. And now we have with us Dr. Peter Rios. Dr. Rios, welcome to Latinos Who Thrive.
Saludos, mi gente. How you doing, Victor? Thank you for having me.
I'm doing well. Bienvenido. Cuéntanos, Rios, ¿de dónde eres originario?
I'm from Puerto Rico. Background, I grew up in New York, in the Bronx. Then my grandmother who raised me, Lourdes, we moved upstate New York. So a small town outside of Buffalo called Dunkirk, New York. So those are my original stomping grounds. Pero Boricua all the way, Latino, Latinx, Latine all the way. Y para nuestra gente hispana, así que estamos aquí para servir.
Una pregunta, Dr. Rios.
Yeah.
I've interviewed a lot of different professionals over the years that are multicultural, multilingual, many things.
Yeah.
In your experience, being a native of Puerto Rico and then having moved to the States, and being raised in the upper part of New York State, what impact has that had on your mindset?
Well, let me clarify. I was actually born in New York.
Okay.
So, but either way, we still grow up, I think, in this country, at least when I was growing up, and I think it's still similar now, you feel like ni de aquí, ni de allá, right? Not from here or there. And so, that in-between dynamic played a bit, it had an impact on me, especially as a younger person, because I went through an identity crisis, right? Growing up, you saw the majority culture of doing, most of them doing well, or saw kids, with two parent backgrounds, or it seemed like they had it all together, nice cars, they get dropped off in school. I'm walking in a snowstorm.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's going on here? And so I naturally, like many other kids of color and kids who grew up in public housing, the projects, Lo Proyecto, the lower socioeconomic status community, wanted to be like them. So, for a long time, I actually wanted to be white. I wanted to be something else, something that I wasn't. And so that was an issue, because besides that, I was dealing with maybe feeling abandonment or neglect because my mom and dad weren't around, So my grandmother raised me. My grandma did a phenomenal job, so there's no knock on her. She raised us as best she could, gave us her faith, all of these things que Latinos, we strive on. I've got resilience and grit from my grandmother, but I have to be honest, it wasn't until I was in the Marine Corps, it seems like a lifetime ago. I was a young guy in the Marines and I was in Okinawa, Japan. And I didn't realize that I was going through culture shock, and I'm going into my barracks, which is where we stayed, it's like a dorm room, so to say. And I hear salsa music, right? And something leaped inside of me. And I'm like, what is this? And I'm like, I got so happy all of a sudden. And I ran to the room where I hear the music and I just started dancing with a couple guys that were there. We were just laughing. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I miss home. I miss rice and beans. I miss Totones, I miss, my Latinos. I was like, and that was like the beginning of me owning who I am fully, of living into my Latinidad, of living into que soy Latino, Puerto Riqueño, you know, bilingue, right? Bilingual, fully, you know. And so that was the beginning of my journey. I'm not sure if that answers your question, but I want to make sure we're going in the right direction.
Yes, the awakening of your DNA.
Exacto.
Wouldn't you consider that a superpower?
Yes. And, you know, growing up, like, it wasn't cool to speak Spanish, you know, like right. It would be punished, you know, even in school. And, you know, so now that's gotten a little better, thank God. But, and for all the advocates and those out there fighting the good fight for us and for our communities, right? But, so it took a while. And then, you know, to be where I am today, where, like you said, this is my superpower, my identity, who I am, you know, being fully bilingual, bicultural, you know, bicoastal, you know, I think Latinos do this better than anyone else. We can go in and out of different contexts, different cultures, different nations, and be effective because we know how to assimilate to a certain level without losing who we are, right? And being able to be leaders in these different environments. And I've been learning that and really helping, you know, trying to help other Latinos to do the same. Like, you have something special within you. Your culture, your identity is part of the value you bring to this world, and own it, you know, live into it, live from that. And we're making a big difference, you know, and our community is growing and we have so much potential. So yes, Victor, it's a superpower.
I've interviewed a lot of millennials and even some Gen Z Latinos.
Yeah.
And the word that now is coming up in organically within those circles is chingones. Okay. Okay. I'm a boomer. So again, we don't use that kind of language, but again, I think it's high time that we embrace that kind of mindset that you're unstoppable, that you are a multi-resource cultural being, as you said, that can go in and out of different cultures, in and out of different settings, you know, without skipping a beat. Yeah. I was having an interview with a famous painter in a previous episode, and we got to talking about the mestizo identity, because a lot of people don't know that when the Spaniards interbred with the native Indian population, their children, the mestizos, were not even considered human. They were called coyotes, and they weren't even allowed to have a birth certificate.
Yeah, wow.
And in Native American history and mythology, the coyote was an animal that was revered. And he was feared. He was revered because he was a protector and benefactor, because he led tribes to food and to water. Right. But he was also feared because he was a trickster. And the conversation around this topic is, we are that kind of mindset. Que podemos fregar. We're noble. We're noble, pero a las malas somos malos.
Well, I think for me, I grew up, you know, like I said, in what we commonly call the hood, right? And so,
yes,
you know, I went from the hood, you know, to flunking, barely graduating high school, to flunking community college three times, to now holding two PhDs. And like, that journey was definitely not linear. And I only mention that because, you know, part of growing up in el barrio, you know, and el caserío, is that you learn tricks. You learn, you know, how to hustle. You learn from an early age how to make a dollar, you know, un pesito, un dólar.
Yes.
And though, you know, obviously I channeled that energy for a while in a negative way, you know.
Yes.
And but you know, soon through life and experience and education and learning and actually exposure, right? Being exposed to different countries, to different cultures, nationalities, and just becoming a global citizen, I got to learn, like, to channel that entrepreneurial spirit that I think many Latinos have, if not most, you know, on how to create, how to innovate, how to add value to myself, my community, the world. And that's what we're doing, you know, and through my new book, Maximiza, 12 Llaves para Liberar Tu Mayor Potencial, in English, Maximize, 12 Keys to Unlock Your Greatest Potential. I'm really trying to help and give our community tools because we have, most people have so much within them, they just need to get it unleashed, liberated, you know, released. And that's what these keys are about. And that was one learning lesson for me. That's what I want to share with the listeners today, is that I was doing something, but in the wrong way. And maybe, you know, those listening, like you said, you know, some people consider us, you know, bad, malo, evil, whatever, you know, or we're misunderstood. Sometimes it's our own, you know, our own doing, right? Ignorance, you know, or just bad decisions, mala decisione. But when we learn to channel who we are in the right way, the right direction, you know, I would say, you know, in form of light, in form of love, in form of, you know, unidad, man, we are powerful people, you know? And we go from that, what we call fixed mindset, que nada puede cambiar, this is the way it's always been, this is how it is, to a growth mindset where it's like, no, I have something special, I'm important, I'm called to do something amazing in this world for my generation, and I'm going to maximize that. And I think that is the challenge for us today, you know, as many different polarizing forces are alive in our world, we have this wonderful opportunity como Latinos, Latinas, to make a huge impact. And we are, and we have a lot of power, whether that's voting, whether that's consumer base, whether that's in numbers, we are bilingual. I mean, man, has it ever been a better time for us to leverage our superpower, like you said, and make an impact in this world? I don't know. I would.
That was the message that I had for students this week, as my business partner and I spoke to two ends of the spectrum of Latinos. A group of students and parents who were in juvenile detention, mm-hmm. and another one was junior ROTC and the charter school for at-risk kids. Mm-hmm. And what I'm seeing, Dr. Rios, is an epidemic of this loser mentality within people of color that they really need to wake up. It's like, they have bought into a flawed bill of goods. They have been brainwashed to be victims, as opposed to really stepping into their power and all of their innate talents that are dormant. It's like they haven't even explored what they're capable of doing.
Right. And it's like what you said earlier, talking about natives and the mestizaje, you know, we carry, most of us, you know, had come from a lineage of colonization or even slavery or,
yes,
you know, poverty. And so those things, that slavery mentality, that colonization mentality, or that slavery mentality or poverty, I can't remember. One of those, you know, are always trying to get a grip on us. And if we are not able to shake ourselves out of that, you know, part of it is the system. The system works and benefits from us, you know, not maximizing, but minimizing, right? Many of our people minimize who they are. They're content with a minimum wage job, or content with collecting, you know, welfare, and I'm not knocking that. You know, I've had a season in my life where I've had to get services and, you know, social help, and, you know, you got to do it. Great. But we can't live there. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's a difference. When we begin to realize who we are and what we carry, and that we have something amazing within us, then that begins to change, you know? And sometimes we need exposure, Victor. We need exposure to other people like you, like other Latinos, Latinas that are doing something, or even out of the Latino community. You need to be exposed. You need to see that there's more, you know? And when you have that type of encounter where sometimes it may be someone confronting you in love, or like, mijo, mija, you don't have to live like that. Actually, you can do something else. And it's like, well, really? No, this is the way it is. And I had that conversation early on with Dr. Laila Danoya. You know, she's been like a adopted mother to me, ella de Venezuela. And she told me at an early age, like, yeah, this is the way you're living now, but that doesn't mean you have to stay like that. And that challenged me, because I thought, no, this is the way it is. This is how it is. And she showed me that there was more. So,
yes,
you know, you have to connect with others that can show you another level, another, you know, something better, something greater that will challenge you to go from your comfort zone, which, by the way, nothing grows in a comfort zone, to something better, you know?
Algo mejor. I call it the domestication of people, to where they're so domesticated that again, they never reach their full potential because they have their mindset.
Right.
It's kind of like that saying that to a bird that lives in a cage, seeing birds that fly, the bird in the cage thinks the birds are crazy.
Yeah. How dangerous, right? How dangerous. Yeah,
exactly.
Are they crazy? Exactly. They need to find a cage.
Exactly. Now, so other than your grandmother, who else influenced you in your through line to go to where you are today?
You said who influenced me to what? I'm sorry.
The through line. It's like there's a through line of people in your life's journey being there to influence you to reach your full potential.
Yeah.
Who have been those people?
Yeah. Well, you know, first and foremost, like you said, mi abuelita, you know, Lourdes, crucial in my early years. And then there were leaders in la comunidad, right? People, you know, who from my faith community to mentors like Dr. Lila Denoya, who took me on at an early age. You know, I got caught with drugs in school, you know, and was expelled, you know, and she took me on, you know, she mentored me. She helped me to get into the Upward Bound program, which still is a program that helps, you know, kids of color or even first generation students to go to college. She took me on as a troubled youth. You know, most people want to mentor people who have it going on, you know. She took me on when I was like in the middle of my disaster, so to say, you know. And then later on, you know, having mentors like Juan Martinez, Mexicano de California, you know, Mexican brother from California who helped me, mentored me as my PhD advisor. I've had Carlos Campo, who's helped me I worked in higher education for a while. He was the only Latino president I ever met or knew. And I told him, man, will you mentor me? And, you know, I thought he would say no. You know, he's so busy, right? College president and university president. He said, yes, here's my cell phone number. I'm like, oh my goodness, I was shocked. And, you know, on a monthly basis, we would chat and he would pour into me and help me to understand executive leadership and how to navigate, you know, different systems, you know, how to navigate, you know, what we consider whiteness in the United States, right? And how to move from that and leverage, you know, those systems or these other systems of unearned power, privilege, and profit. You know, also people from a distance, right, have mentored me in different books, right? Like Miguel de la Torre, he's a professor, I think, at the University of Denver, has really helped me to understand, like, you know, the whole liberation and critical pedagogy, you know, critical theory movement. You know, in leadership, there's other people who have influenced me. And then honestly, just learning, just growing, just, you know, the desire that every time you learn something, you want to grow more, you know, you want to know more. And so I think it's both and, you know, you need people, but then at the same time, you need to also within yourself have the wherewithal to say, you know what, tengo que seguir para adelante, tengo que buscar, tengo que crecer, I have to grow and move, and right? So, yeah, it's a long list.
You're listening to Latinos Who Thrive with special guest Dr. Peter Rios. We'll be right back. Are you ready to unlock your full potential and embark on a journey of limitless knowledge and boundless creativity? Look no further than Wizard Academy, where dreams become reality. At Wizard Academy, they are not just a school. They're a community of visionaries, dreamers, and achievers. Whether you're a student, a working professional, or someone looking to reinvent yourself, Wizard Academy has a place for you. I know because I'm a graduate of the World Changers class of 2007 when I worked in print media. Imagine being guided by industry experts where innovation knows no bounds and where your passions are transformed into skills. Their cutting-edge programs span technology, business, arts, and more. You'll discover the magic within you and you wield it with confidence. At Wizard Academy, they embrace diversity and creativity, and they celebrate your unique journey. So be sure to join them in the heart of innovation, where the extraordinary becomes ordinary. Visit them at www.wizardacademy.org now to explore their lineup of courses, faculty, and the incredible success stories of this community. Your future is waiting. Unleash your inner wizard today. We now return you to Latinos Who Thrive with special guest, Dr. Peter Rios.
Two episodes previously, I interviewed Dr. Astrid M. Zambolin Morales. I don't know if you know her, but she also did her PhD at Colorado, the University of Colorado.
Okay.
And one of the statistics that we discussed is only 10% of Latinos among the Latino population, only 10% are PhD recipients.
Wow. And
so we need to work on that, not only at the PhD level, but even at the post-high school education. Yep. We need education to be able to get into those spaces that are reserved for the well-educated, the well-trained, the well-everything.
Yep. So true. And I'm reminded what Paulo Freire said. You know, Paulo Freire era de Brazil, right?
Uh-huh.
An educator. He said that education does not change the world. Education changes people. Those people then go and change the world. And that's what we're talking about. We need our Latino community to get educated. We get a sound education at times from home, our community, but we also need that formal education. Because we need to understand the language. We need to understand systems. We need to understand business. We need to understand the social, you know, dynamics and the technological and economical advancements that are going on around us to be able, and even the political, right, the political sphere, to know what's going on around us so that we can actually be aware, that we can anticipate, that we can actually create the future we want versus just taking the one that we're given, right? Those two things about future, we need to know. You either create the future you want or you will be given one. And so I don't know about you, but I'm tired of our community, you know, inheriting a future that's been given. We need to create a preferred or plausible future, you know, and that's where I'm pushing our community. Like, you need to think more, be more, and grow more. And to do that, we need to get educated, like you said, Victor.
Yes. So we need the academic education, but we also need the mindset education. And that's the space that you and I work in, and to inspire others, because just getting an education is not enough. It's like, you got to be hungry. You got to have those ganas to be able to get ahead and to make your contribution, more importantly, to leave this world a better place than you found it.
Yep, exactly.
So what advice would you give to the younger Peter Rios, now that you are at a place that you are not at the summit, you're scaling up, but you have a long ways to go because you're young, you're ambitious, and you got now the skill set to keep scaling. What advice would you give to that younger you?
Oh, well, the advice I would give to my younger you, I've thought about that often, is to, you know, believe in yourself, to love yourself, to be kind to yourself.
Let me ask you this. Why did you not believe in yourself?
Well, you know, when you're growing up, let me clarify that. I had some belief in myself, obviously,
okay,
but it wasn't like how it is now. And I think that in part, it's because of immaturity. In part, it was because, again, growing up without, you know, parents, and just thinking maybe something was wrong with me, you know?
Okay.
My fault that, you know, maybe I did something wrong. I was a bad kid, so they didn't want to be around, you know, not really understanding adult life, right? Because I'm a kid.
Sure. Sure.
So that's one. And you know, hey, thank God I've gone through a process of therapy, of counseling, which, by the way, if you have issues, if you're struggling with something, get the help. There's help. And that's another thing that sometimes is taboo in our community. Like, we're like, oh, that's weird that,
yeah,
you know, mental illness, traumas, all these things are real issues and part of life, and we need to get healing. So I've grown from that and gotten healing, but also then be kind to yourself. Like, you know, you are growing up like many kids of color in a very hostile environment, maybe underprivileged, maybe under-resourced, even in schools, right? Sometimes we don't have the best teachers or the best equipment, or, you know, kids go to school hungry. And so be kind to yourself. I would have, you know, really emphasized that to young Peter Rios. And then, you know, just love, you know. And so I think that today, you know, now I'm looking at who I am today and looking at who I want to become and who I am becoming. And I'm saying this, the same things, you know, love, be kind to yourself and believe in yourself.
Okay. And you've developed a program of personal empowerment. Mm. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, well, actually, the program is being developed. The first step was launching the book.
Okay. You know,
launch. It's available on Amazon and Kindle and other stores like Barnes & Noble and stuff. But
and we'll have links of that in the show notes. Tell us about the book.
Well,
you don't have to give us the whole book. Tell us about the book. Tell us what led you to write this book and what are people going to get as a result of reading the book, or what are people telling you that they're getting?
Yeah, so actually I just spoke to a leader yesterday. He sent me a message from Santiago, Chile. I was actually out there speaking at a leadership conference a few weeks ago, and he read the book in Spanish, obviously, and was telling me how impactful it was and how each key could be its own book, you know, and that it was definitely challenging, but also very encouraging to hear stories of triumph, of overcoming. Part of my stories in the book, but then I also bring other stories and also really just helping people to try to get to their next level wherever it's at. So this book, it can be for somebody who's in their teens, and I've had people who are 70 and 80 years old already read the book and have been encouraged by it, you know. So it's an empowerment book. It's a blueprint on how you can begin to maximize your life. And what I mean by that is, you know, pick an area where you want to grow, whether it's personally, spiritually, whether it's professionally. And you can always, you know, improve, right? And that's what personal and professional development is all about. That's what leadership development is all about. And so the book is going to be followed by a course. We're already almost done with the course. It should launch next month. It'll be on my website at www.peterriosconsulting.com. And then the program you're speaking of will follow the course, which will be a mastermind coaching program for Maximize Your Life. And so we're excited about that, you know, and so stay tuned.
Let's talk about leadership.
Yes.
Because that's the space that you and I, again, are experts in.
Sure.
Talk about Latino leadership at the national level. What are you seeing is either in place, missing, or coming soon? And for Latinos.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think we could do like 10 podcasts on that.
I'm sure.
pero I think that, you know, we have better models, right, today. I think that some people have paved the way, like Cesar Chavez, and you think of people we've had in the government, you know, even at the Supreme Court level. Think of faith-based community leaders. I think of, you know, different people like that. I think we have been growing, you know. I think that now we're becoming our own. I think that now we're starting to see a lot more ownership, like entrepreneurs, right? A lot of people starting nonprofits. We're starting to see, like I said, in higher education, you know, Latino, Latina presidents and executives and deans, more people in politics. And I think that this is a great time for us to develop individually and even as a community. I would say where I would love to see us be more strengthened is amongst our diversity. Sometimes, you know, one powerful thing we have is that Latinos, everybody speaks Spanish, and that unites us. However, sometimes, you know, we allow like the little differences, which are cool. We need to leverage our differences. That's what makes who we are. However, not so much that we are divided. So, you know, like Dominicans are over there, Mexicans are over there, Peruvians are over there. No, it's like, man, listen, we honor each other's cultural, ethnic background, but at the same time, let's also come together and be a superpower, right? A community that can make a difference.
Yeah.
I think the younger generation is pumped up. They're ready, but they're also they have no room for tolerance. You know, they're not waiting. They want to get it done like yesterday. And I like that. I like ese that salsa that I like ese sazón, you know, que tienen los jóvenes. And I think we need to leverage that. So I think this is where I'll end my little comment, Victor, is that we need to be better at multi. So, for example, I've done a lot of equity, right, diversity work. And yeah, one area that's neglected is usually generational diversity. And we have to learn and leverage each other's differences in terms of generationally, you know. So we need to leverage the wisdom of older or more mature folks, o que están más sazonados, and we need to leverage the youth and the energy and the you know, the power that that younger people bring and the creativity, right? And so I think that that fusion, I think it's still, I think, I don't know how you feel about it, is something that we're still learning how to do.
Well, look at the cultural differences between Japan and the U.S. in that that culture, since you live there,
yeah,
it's based on a merit-based wisdom that is passed on to younger generations as opposed to just stepping into it. And you can be highly motivated, but if you don't have the discipline, if you don't have the right skill set, if you don't have the intellectual capital, you're just a motivated idiot.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
We just don't prepare the younger generation to step into that power, but to step into it well prepared, that that it's their time. It's their time, and they've been prepared all along, as opposed to just leaving them to fend for themselves. And what I'm seeing is some Latinos are grabbing onto the power and then misusing the power because, again, they lack the preparation. It's not that they're bad people. It's that they lack the preparation.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think we can do for that? Or
we need to massively do a cultural education. Because as Peter Drucker says, the culture eats strategy every day.
Yeah.
And so our culture needs to change, and it starts with us. It starts with us. It starts with us mentoring locally and then raising leaders, leaders for the future that are well prepared.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
And in my experience, I don't know about your work, my partner and I are having greater success with children, small children.
Wow.
Grade school children that we are working in different schools and different organizations to teach them these principles that are based upon emotional intelligence.
Okay. That's great.
Because when you get to teenagers, they already have an attitude. They already have... they already have the good mindset, and while I'm a believer in miracles, it's a lot harder to work with teenagers that have been corrupted by the culture of being little punks, little badasses.
Yeah, yeah, it's a harder uphill battle too with adults, you know. Like Alvin Toffler said, the illiterate of the 21st century are not those who cannot read and write, but those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. And as adults, man, it no cuesta to try to learn and relearn.
Exactly. You know? So tell us what's on the horizon for you. You got this book that you just released. You got some leadership programs that you got coming out. What is your work in DEI? Tell us about that.
Yeah,
so that's what you're doing.
Sure, I've done and I'm doing consulting. So I've consulted at, you know, like Harvard University Human Resources to coach, you know, veteran owned small mom and pop businesses to executive leaders one on one. I don't limit myself in who I can work with, but I do have like three areas that I usually focus on. One is leadership development, right? The other one is DEI, what I call equity work. And then the third one is innovation and change. So those are the three areas that I usually stay within, the umbrellas. And I've worked with the Lilly Endowment. I've worked with faith religious leaders. I've worked with a diversity of people on just really try to make first, you know, if it's an organization, their organization more equitable, you know, where if, you know, people are don't feel like they belong, why, and helping them to get down to the bottom of it, helping leaders to grow, you know, and cultural responsiveness, cultural humility, learning, you know, helping leaders to really understand group dynamics. And even let's say with telework or remote work, right? Like inclusion is a big deal. And sometimes we forget about if you have a hybrid workforce, you need to include those people who are working from home, you know? So all of that is DEI work. You know, sometimes, you know, people think of DEI work as just one thing, whether race or LGBTQIA2S+ issues or, and all of those are important as well. But like I was saying earlier, there's a plethora of issues that we are dealing with. And so I help leaders and organizations to work through that and do it sometimes through training. It could be coaching, team coaching, you know, seminar based. And then you asked me what else was I up to. I'm already writing my third book. It's going to be on leadership specifically. And I don't have a title yet. I'm still working on that, brainstorming and, you know, getting, but already starting to write. I'm speaking a lot more, and like later this year, I'll be speaking with, Les Brown, in September in Orlando, Florida. I'm on a Maximize Your Life speaking tour right now. I'm going to Phoenix next month. And then New York thereafter, and, you know, it's building. So just, you know, though I've learned this from younger people, like diversify your revenue portfolio, you know, diversify your revenue portfolio. You can't just be one thing and it's okay. You know, like sometimes we get stuck in a box, like, oh, I just do this one thing. No, if you have two or three gifts, why not maximize those? And so that's what I'm doing, you know, and I work within those different areas of speaking, coaching, consulting, and training.
You got to have the Swiss knife mindset that you can pull out another tool, another resource, another product.
Yep.
Well, it's been very enlightening to have you on our show today. You have to come back and keep us updated with your progress and what you're up to, especially with your upcoming project.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Victor, and all the listeners. For the time and space today, let's connect. I'm on social media at Dr. Peter Rios, Dr. for doctor. So connect with me there. And I think you said you'll put my links up, but
yes,
you know, love to connect. I've already connected with you on LinkedIn. Así que estamos conectados.
Yes.
and thank you for having me. Keep up the great work. Keep influencing, keep empowering. Y Latinos, vamos unidos, amando, creciendo, liberando. Bendiciones. Thank you.
Thank you. And there you have it, friends. That's going to do it for today. Until next time, go out and thrive.
Un abrazo. Bye-bye.